Research specializing in intelligence agency involvement in multiple assassinations, propaganda, and other global criminal operations in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Your listeners are extremely fortunate to have you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media.
Chuck O'Kelly! Yeah!
It is the eighth day of October 2018, allegedly, according to the thing we call a calendar, and this, indeed, is the O'Kelly Effect. Broadcast live from the facilities of O'Kelly.com, but also heard on a variety of other networks, including micro-broadcasters up in the Northeast, who we do appreciate you, but for legal reasons will not identify you. Anyway, it is a moon day or a Monday. It's the first day of the week, and we are continuing our series with Jordan Maxwell. Now, Jordan has done already 10 episodes here on religion. This is where the focus is. Of course, we've gone into a couple of other subject areas because a lot of things are connected to religion. A lot of action, a lot of motivation, a lot of reality is connected to religion. So it might seem as though we've strayed on occasion into other areas, but really, honestly, it's all about religion in general. So you got to go to JordanMaxwellShow.com. By the way, why? Because JordanMaxwellShow.com, all together, JordanMaxwellShow.com, you know what? That's the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. In addition, it's the only place that I know of that you can get to the Jordan Maxwell Research Society, where there's a button there. You can get into it for a one-time fee. You can get a lifetime subscription over there and be able to get in-depth not only on religion, which we're going to discuss tonight, but also about banking, about, well, you know, the international politic, if you will, about American history, about a whole lot of interesting things, actually. Religion is one very small part of what you can get into, and it's being added to constantly. In addition, we told you last week that there are now videos on demand there, which for a small fee, for less than what it would cost you to buy a DVD and have it shipped to you, you can get a direct video from Jordan Maxwell himself through JordanMaxwellShow.com. Okay, and that is the only website that's Jordan's. Remember that. There's a lot of other places to try to use his name and everything else, but the truth is, that is his website. You can write to him there. You can donate to him there. You can join the research society there. That is it. Okay. Anything else is an imitation. Jordan, how are you tonight, sir? It's now we're going into episode 11, I believe. And wow, I didn't know that it was going to be this many. Of course, as you said at the beginning, as we agreed at the beginning, however many it takes is however many it takes, and that's what we're going to do. Almost every Monday, a couple of skips. Maybe I wasn't feeling well the one time, maybe you weren't, or you were out of town. That's right, you were out of town, actually. And, but whatever, it's been a continuous series, and we've definitely gotten reactions from it.
I'll bet.
But it's amazing to take a look at the incredible amount of information that you've already put into these things. And meanwhile, you know, again, you want to go more in depth, there's ways to do it. And Jordan also along the way usually gives you guys different places to look, different things to search on the internet, book suggestions. Gee, kind of sounds like the Research Society area, Jordan, over there, where you can actually find the references and go look at the books yourself, look at the images yourself. But anyway, we're going to do this like we always do. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I think okay. I always say as well as I can be expected to at 78 years old, but I feel pretty good, and I've already been talking to people today, so I got a lot of things on my mind that we talked about, and so I the only problem with doing 11 shows is that I forget, you know, what I've covered before and what I haven't covered, and there's so much more that I would like to talk about, but I don't remember in the last 10 shows what we talked about, and so I don't want to repeat the same stuff over. But there is so much that we really need to know, and I want people to understand that I am not anti-religious, and I'm not anti-Christian, I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm not anti-anything. my modus operandi has always been to open your mind, because I've said it before, you know, your mind's like a parachute. It doesn't work if it's not open. And so I've always loved, I have quite literally loved the idea of reading and studying all sorts of arcane subjects, lots of subjects that are really fascinating, incredible subjects that most people have never been introduced to. They don't even know these subjects exist. And religion is one of them. I mean, we all, you know, so many people have a religious belief, wherever it is they happen to come from and wherever it is they happen to have been born into, and they have a religious belief. But I, as far back as when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I was questioning the conceptual ideas of God. And what are you talking about when you talk about God? Define your terms. And so I'm not irreligious, and I'm not anti-Christian, I'm not anti-God. As a matter of fact, I am totally convinced that there is a divine creator. That I, for myself, I'm convinced that there is some kind of a divine presence in our human civilization that is out there in space. It's out there. Well, that's what you ask any, you know, little Christian kid, do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you know what God is? Oh, yeah, yeah, we know exactly what it is. Oh, really? What is it? They don't know. And then you ask them, well, where does God live? And they'll point out in the sky. He lives out there in the sky. Well, what is that out there? Well, that's heaven. So, okay, then I guess God lives in heaven, right? You know, so that's what we call it, the heavens. And then you come to find out that if God lives out there in heaven, then that means he's extraterrestrial. Now let's get into some really dark stuff. Oh, really? God's an extraterrestrial? He's not from Alabama originally. He's not from Tennessee. He's from out there. Yeah, well, then he has angels. Yeah, what are angels? We don't know, but they're angels. Where are they from? Well, they are from heaven, too. The angels are in heaven. And so you point out there. Well, the bottom line is that the whole idea of a creator, God, angels, all is extraterrestrial topics, ETs. And then when you start going back, as we've done on this program, where we go back to Genesis and in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's not what it says in the original text. Go read it from the Hebrew Bible and read it in Hebrew. And it says, in the beginning, the gods, more than one, plural, the gods made the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And so when God was creating Adam and Eve, no, the gods created Adam and Eve. And that's why in Genesis 1:28, it says, come, let us make man in our image and our likeness. What do you mean, us? Who's us? Well, God is talking to himself. No, the reason why it says, come, let us, and then in Genesis 2, it talks about that God came down and saw mankind and what he was doing and what he's involved in. It says, now man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. Now he's like us. And all those crazy things we do in heaven, all these crazy things we do in heaven is now the humans that we created to look like us and act like us. They are. They're acting just like us. They're fighting wars. And so the bottom line is that the gods created us to look like them. So that's why you read the scriptures. God said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, not make man. Man's already here. But let's make man in our image to look like us and be like us. So therefore, you know, we see in Genesis 1:18, or Genesis 18, you know, where Abraham is approached by three men, and then the Bible says it was God and two accompanying angels. But they sat on the tree and had dinner with Abraham, and then the two assistants to God got up and went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the whole Bible is filled with angels and God that look like us. Mm-hmm. And so, well, what does that tell you? Well, maybe there might be something to that since it's in the Bible. And if there is something to it, then maybe some of the people you look up to as royalty are actually extraterrestrials who look like you. They look human like you.
See,
but
you're reading my mind, actually, Jordan, because as I'm listening to you discuss how the allegedly singular God, which, by the way, Elohim indicates immediately this is more than one,
right.
If you understand it. So, I mean, it's that simple. And, in fact, it actually describes that there's male and female involved there.
That's right.
Which is odd thing, too.
God made man in his own image, male and female.
Correct. Well, but the interesting thing you bring up with royalty is this. When they speak, you know, when the blue bloods speak, so to speak, right? Interesting, they call them blue bloods, too. But, you know, when the blue bloods speak, they say we. We
That's
are the
right.
queen. We are. And it's very interesting because there's a whole system to that. And, you know, the queen actually is in the office of the king at the moment in England, right? You know, so she's ruling the country as the king. But through the office. She's the queen, certainly. But when she speaks, we are the queen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It.
Now,
That's
why
right.
do they do that?
Yep. It's because they believe and they say to us that they have a divine right of kings, a divine right. Well, when you talk about divine, it implies that God has anointed me to be king. So I have a divine right from God. Well, which God? Well, we're not going to talk about that. Well, when did God appoint you? Because I know you, and I don't like you, and nobody else in town likes you either. So, you know, we know that you're from God. Why? Because you told us. But from our viewpoint, you're just another self-centered, egotistical elite who's riding around in a gold chariot and flipping your cigarettes and doing your drinking and all the other stuff you do, killing people and wars. And that doesn't sound very divine to us. And so then you find out, no, when they say we, even in the Quran, even in Islam, when God is talking to, you know, to Muhammad or to any of the other prophets, in the Quran, it says, we made you, we did this and we did that. And God said, we came down and we saw you and we came down and did this and that. And there's actually a scripture, and I've got it right here, but I gotta find it on my computer. But basically it says, it's in the Quran, it says, we came down and brought you your scriptures. This is in the Quran. We came down and brought you your scriptures. And we will be the protector of your scriptures. We will see to it and protect the scriptures that we brought you. Well, you know, we've been told that, Muhammad wrote this and Muhammad wrote that, and Muhammad did all these wonderful things, and all the scriptures were given to him, and that he wrote them. Then you come to find out, no, Muhammad didn't write nothing. It says, God said, we brought down the Quran and gave it to you, and we will protect it ourselves. It's not your work. We wrote it, and we brought it down to you. Well, who is we? Well, the idea is that all the ancient peoples of the world knew there is not one main God in the universe. There's plenty of gods. But when you hear that the Jews are God's chosen people, and the Jews were the first monotheistic God, the first monotheistic people were the Jewish people. They were the first people to recognize that there was only one God, and that one God is their God, and it's the God of the whole creation of the universe. And he loves the Jews, and Jews were his chosen people, and there's only one God in the whole universe, and they are his people, period. Mm. So they are the master race, because they have been picked by the Almighty God of the universe. But that's not what it says in the scriptures at all, and it doesn't make any common sense either. Because in the Ten Commandments, God is giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, and he says one of the first commandments, I am the Lord your God. And not the Lord of the whole universe. No, I am the Lord your God, and I shall not have strange gods before me. He didn't say there were no strange gods. He said, no, there's plenty of strange gods, but I don't want any of them before me. Well, this is the same thing a young man says to his fiance. You know, there's plenty of other young men out there, but I better not catch you with them. I'm the one you chose. We've made a deal. We're going steady. We're going to get married. So, yeah, there's a lot of other guys out there that are probably better than I am, wealthier than I am, but we have a deal. You picked me, and I picked you, and we have a deal. Mm. So I better not see you with any other guy. Well, that's what the Bible says. God is a jealous God, and he told Israel, I am the Lord your God. There are others, but you picked me, and I'm the one that agreed to it, so therefore I better not see you having any other gods before me. And so now we find out that the word in the Hebrew is Elohim for God. But in Hebrew, El is God in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. But that in Genesis 1:1, it doesn't say in the beginning El created the heavens and the earth. It says in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Well, Elohim is a plural, like putting an S on the end of the word car. You put an S on it, it becomes cars, more than one. Well, that's what Elohim means. El is God in the plural, more than one. So once you understand that, well, where does this God, who is more, gods, more than one, where are they? They're out there. Even a child will tell you, gods are out there.
Right.
And they look like you. Because they created you in their image and their likeness, which means so many of the people that are running our planet today, you think are holy and righteous, and Prince Charles and Princess Di and all, and the Queen Mum. And then you find out, no, they're a bunch of Nazis, they're a bunch of murderers, and they're not from here. That's why they don't mind killing you, your family, and raping the whole world and stealing everything. And if you get in their way, they'll bomb you and blow you off the face of the earth. Why? Because they're not human. They don't give a damn about you as a human. They have a divine right. Why? Because you don't know who they really are. You don't know what's really going on here. You need to go back and look at the Bible and see what the real name of the tune is, because you're in serious trouble if you think that there's a God out there who's going to protect you and he loves the children and he loves all the little animals, etc. No, the real story is we are in a universe that's filled with other life forms, and they're superior to us, and they have come here. And some of them may have already been here before humans were even created. So the bottom line is, when you talk about God, you need to go back and do your homework. The story is not what you think it is. We've been had.
Absolutely.
And somewhere along the line, the people are going to come face to face with the reality of who we are and how we have been designed by extraterrestrials, and we are now here in their image and their likeness. And so the scripture says, and the idea was expressed by the Knights Templars, as above, so below. So all the lunacy you see us humans doing, yeah, well, that's just what the gods are doing. The gods are demons and devils and angels and poltergeists, jesters and jokers who lie to us. Spirits that lie and tell us about God, and they themselves are extraterrestrials from out there in the universe who have come here. So the whole idea now is you need to go back and look at religion and where did it come from and what in the world is actually in fact happening. You don't have to look at the real facts right now. It's going to show itself real soon.
Oh, yes, absolutely true. You know, Jordan, a couple of things come to mind here. First of all, we did get a question in already, and I didn't even tell people they could ask questions. But if you're in the live chat room or you're on my Skype list, by all means, enter a question that is reasonable to what we're discussing. Jordan is more than happy to address them, whatever they may be. Live chat room, or if you're on Skype, charles.ocelli is my Skype name, and I will read them and interpret what it is you're asking. No problem. I will add anything to the conversation that is reasonable. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, you know, I used to think, now you might find this strange, but I used to think that David Icke was absolutely laughable with this concept of reptilians being on the planet and this kind of thing. But you know what kept happening to me, Jordan?
What?
I kept having a hard time figuring out how a human being can do what some alleged human beings do to other human beings.
Yep.
And I said to myself, you know, look, you know, when they say to you, well, look, you see a conspiracy, you see the, you know, thousands, millions, whatever, how many are being murdered? How can somebody possibly do that? I mean, they must be mentally sick. They must be mentally ill. They must be, you know, and mental illness doesn't account for it, because mental illness, eventually they collapse into something. They crash. But these people that do it for decades, for 50, 60, 70 years of their, you know, of their time and power, I would say to myself, they're not mentally ill. They might be mentally ill toward the end. You know, some people go a little fuzzy toward the end of their lives, or maybe they had trouble in their youth. But the majority of the time, they're there literally poisoning and slaughtering and setting things into motion that are absolutely harmful and horrific. They're not mentally ill. So I say to myself, well, what is the other answer here? This is almost like an inhuman, and I just kept coming up against the same wall. This is not what a human being would do if they had an ounce of an idea of the damage they were doing. See, a human being has empathy built in, unless there's a damage. They have empathy built in. They can't possibly rest well with this, be happy with this, be thrilled with their spoils of war, since they know it costs 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 lives.
Yep.
And I started saying, no, I'm not saying I'm a devotee of David Icke's. No. But what I'm saying is, not so crazy to say that some of these creatures that appear human might be something else. Because it just appears that way. I mean, just following the logic and the reality of their behavior, Jordan. That's the first thing. So I agree with you. And a lot of people say, oh, it's crazy talk. God is an extraterrestrial. Well, first of all, in a practical sense, if you're telling me that God doesn't necessarily reside on this planet, by definition, he's an extraterrestrial. Okay, God is in heaven, God is everywhere. Okay, I get that. And that is a wonderful thing, because that's the idea that all of his creations are all his, and so on and so forth. And I don't even mean to give the masculine to it. It's just a matter of, that's what I've commonly thought to say first. I understand all that. The first curveball comes from a question, I don't think I've ever heard you address this. But, you know, the Mormons, they talk about aliens basically intermingled with God. And that part of it makes sense. Now, was Joseph Smith a con man? I think so. But did he have some of the truth, maybe? You know, well, a good con man doesn't sell you the whole, complete, full lie, do they?
No, not at all.
But I'd love to know your look on that, because, you know, Mormonism to me, when I was a kid, I thought it was just another form of Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I mean, Jesus is in there.
Yeah.
But it's not really. So I was wondering if you had thoughts on Mormonism, because in some ways it actually comes to more of the truth, and in some ways it gets really strange. But then
it's
again,
only when you study the occult world of theology and metaphysics, and understand what you're seeing, if you have what is called a preternatural experience. Preternatural used to be called supernatural, but it's not supernatural, because supernatural means it's natural, but it's really just natural. That's why it's supernatural. No, the word is preternatural, means not of this world. Things that you that has nothing to do with the world you live in. This is not from here, from this earth. It's not from this planet. It has to do with something that's out there, or something that's in this earth, or something that has nothing to do with your human life. It's preternatural. And so once you understand preternatural and what it means, and then you start looking at all the stories coming out of the ancient world, not just the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas and Upanishads and the Quran and the Torah and all the other holy writings, you begin to see that there's a whole world of ancient knowledge and history that we are not privy to know about. And now you begin to see the real story is beginning to develop, that we were nothing more than created creatures, and we were probably recreated. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, meaning and implying man is already here. He's already here, but he's not that pretty for being a creature walking upright. And so science today calls those creatures, we know that they existed, and we call them hominids. Look up the word hominid, and it will show you apes that look like us. They walk upright. They are built like us. They're ugly as a homemade sin, but they're ugly. But they walk upright, and they're full of hair, and they will look like a human monkey. But the scientists say they really existed because we have the skeletal remains, and science calls them hominids. Well, somebody must have come here millions of years or thousands of years or whatever it was a long time ago and encountered, when they came here to this earth, they encountered living creatures on this earth that had evolved or somehow had got here, and there's a lot of them. And so somebody that came here from another world said, come, let us make this creature to look like us. Why don't we intervene in its DNA structure, and let's co-produce with this female. Let us take her and artificially create another life form in her, and let's cross genetics, and let's see what she gives birth to. That's fine. That's fun. Let's see what she gives birth to. If we put the seed of life into her, and so we've come from another world out there that you don't know anything about, but we come here and we see these hominid creatures. We call them Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon man and all these ancient peoples that we loosely think of as cavemen or whatever. And so these extraterrestrials who came here decided, let's make them look like us, because they seem to be able to procreate. So let's take one of the females and artificially crossbreed with her. Let's see what she gives birth. What she gave birth to, it probably wasn't exactly what the extraterrestrials were thinking. So let's do it again. Maybe we put too much of this and not enough of that. We did it a little bit wrong because we're just experimenting. So let's do it again. And this time we'll put more of this and a little bit less of that. And now let's see what she comes up with. And so this is why I'm saying it's very possible, and I'm not the only one saying this, but it's very possible that that's where we get Bigfoot, the Yeti, the gorilla-like man who walks upright and has a family, has females and has children, but he's a lot stronger, bigger, and scarier than we are. Well, that's what maybe the Neanderthal creatures may have looked like, but when the angels or the extraterrestrials crossbred with those hominid creatures, they gave birth to something which is half Neanderthal, half indigenous creatures and half angels, so that these Bigfoots and these animals are brilliant. They're smart. They can disappear in front of you. They can reappear. Nobody wants to deal with them. They're frightening. They're scary. It very well might be that they were some of the first of the crop to be turned out. You know, that turned out with the crossbreeding of a Neanderthal with the gods who came from another world, and then they kept refining themselves, obviously, until one day they gave birth to us. Now we are totally different from the Neanderthal and from the ancient what we call the cave dwellers or whatever. We writing beautiful music, making movies, motion pictures, going and flying jets and creating lasers and we're just a magnificent creation of wisdom and knowledge, but we're still a bunch of animals. We're still out there fighting in the streets and killing each other and warring with each other. But We also have a divine spark in the human family, in the human race, that we can create gorgeous, beautiful art and write, you know, the beautiful music and create lasers and all kinds of wonderful things that we can do. We can build Disneyland and all kinds of great stuff that shows that we are brilliant, brilliant creatures. And who put all of this incredible knowledge into our heads? Maybe it was because the extraterrestrials crossbred again and again and again until they finally got it right. And now they finally got it right. Now we look exactly like them. And that's why the Bible says, man has become as one of us. Now look at him. Now he can do whatever he wants to do. He can create rockets and put on their atomic bombs and come out into space. So look what we have done. We've created a monster. We've created something that we're going to have to deal with because he is smart. He's intelligent. He's got nuclear weapons, and he can fly into space. So we've got some serious problems. We should have left this whole thing alone a long time ago, but it's too late now because he's reproducing himself and they're getting smarter as they go. And so that's why I think that we are dealing right now, and I'm totally sure that there are reptilian aliens here because I've heard I'm the one, that probably the first person who talked to David Icke about reptilians because I brought David Icke to America when he wasn't even known here. Nobody had ever heard of him, but I brought him here back in 1992. And I was in San Diego, and I was running a company, working for a company where I had access to money, and the company was a publishing outfit. And so I've helped a lot of people that are very famous today, but I helped make them famous. And so I talked with David Icke about reptilians and reptile aliens who but today they are shapeshifters. And they can look like you very quickly, or they can look like what they really look like where they came from, which were reptile aliens. And so I've been talking about this stuff for many years. Well, I have got some circumstantial evidence about a reptilian presence on the earth that's pretty overwhelming. Incredible stuff. And I'll send you some of the audio video files. And my website, I mean, and my hard drive that I have captured because I when I first saw them, it was so breathtaking. I thought I need to copy this because nobody's going to believe it. No one's going to believe what is on this web back in 1999 and 2000. So I'll send you some of the stuff I saved. One of them will knock your socks off. There's a 60 Minutes interview with Prince Charles, and Prince Charles is walking in this big garden, beautiful garden, with this host questioning him from 60 Minutes, and then they sat down together on this like a bus bench kind of thing in the garden. And they're talking, well, the 60 Minutes reporter asked Prince Charles something he didn't like. He pried into some personal something that Prince Charles was not happy about. And instead of, registering, an expression that he wasn't happy with that question, Prince Charles actually looked, and it's on, and you see this, they had the camera on. Prince Charles looked at this host and started hissing, and his eyes became like a snake, but he was hissing and hissing loud at him, and it was incredible. Nobody could believe this. Prince Charles hissing like a snake, and it wasn't just a little flippant sign. No, he's actually looking at him and hissing at him like a snake. Well, if you go on the web today and go to YouTube and type in people hissing, just type in the people hissing and you will see all kinds of videos of talk show hosts or game show hosts or interviews or news interviews where individuals will hear something they don't want to hear and they start hissing like a snake. So I'm saying to myself, why are these humans that look human, but they turn and act like a snake, the way they turn their neck and their eyes, they get this look in their eye like an animal, and then they start hissing. What is that all about? Well, you better go back and look at it, because that's what happens, and it's on film. And when David Icke talks about the extraterrestrials who look like reptilian, I was probably the one who got him started on that back in 1962 when I first brought him here, because I have talked to some of the most incredibly brilliant people in my life, people I know that are extraordinarily successful, important people in this world, and they have told me about their own personal one-on-one experience with hissing reptiles. They look like reptilian, they move like reptilians, and they would hiss. And so it's just astounding. And then when I go back to the Jewish Togrums, which is the old, they're called the Jewish Togrums, are the old records of what the rabbis centuries and centuries ago had to say on different subjects. It's like in American law. You've got all of our laws go back to the 1700s. And so when the judge says he's going to render an opinion, that means an opinion based on everything we know about this particular law. And it goes back 400 years or 300 years. And so there is it's called Jewish Togrums, what the old rabbis hundreds of years had to say about certain subjects. And when talking about Adam and Eve, there's about three or four documents, and I could send, I'll email you the documents, you read them yourself, where these old rabbis 500 years ago, 400 years ago, talked about when Adam was created, he had scaly skin, like a snake, and that he had to undergo some kind of a different kind of operation, or what am I trying to say, reincarnation or something. And they said then he lost his scaly skin and began to take on what we today refer to as human. But when he was here, he had a reptile head, and he had scaly skin like a reptile. I didn't say that. The rabbis wrote that. The rabbinical authorities 400, 500, 600 years ago talked about Adam having scaly skin like a reptile. So I'm thinking, what is that? What are they talking about? Well, they're not stupid, and they must have had a reason for saying that. So you better go back and look at this whole subject of who was this new creature they call Adam, A-D-M. We call it Adam. No, go back in the Hebrew Bible and look where it says that God created Adam, A-D-M. We're the ones that put another A and make it Adam. No, it's not Adam. Adam. And then you find out what the word Adam means in the ancient Hebrew. So I'm just saying that if you really want to talk about theology, then go do your homework. Spend 60 years looking at the words, the terms, the etymologies, the stories, cross-referencing the stories with other ancient civilizations, and you will find out the whole of what we call the religious world has been telling you something that you don't have sense enough to even know how far back it goes. The concepts and the ideas that we're expressing today have been around for tens of thousands of years, but you don't know what they mean. You don't know what the etymology of the words mean. So what the Bible is telling you is totally, totally different than anything you're being told today in a synagogue. Anything you're being told today in a mosque, a church, or a synagogue, you have no idea in the world how distorted that stuff really is. And I've said this before on the program, but right now it's also important to add that all three of the major religions today, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all come from the Hindu. Hindu India is the birthplace of all three major religions today. But happily, it's been so well hidden that there's only a handful of people who have done this kind of research and see it. Definitely, Judaism is a Hindu religion. Christianity is directly out of the Hindu. And now that's a whole subject, you know, we talked about. Well, we could talk about it again later, but
yeah,
I'm just
sure.
Telling,
Listen, I want to get into that some more, but quite honestly, I have another thought in my mind here I want to get to since we've gone into Genesis quite a bit here today. When I attempt to read from the Hebrew, okay, I'm not somebody who speaks it or normally reads it. I'm sitting there with a concordance, a translator, okay? But when I take a look at it, not only is there this concept of, you mentioned the reformation of man, not the invention of man, you know, because most people, they hear that story and it's sort of like, well, from the dirt, he makes a man. Okay, that's incorrect. But what is interesting about the dirt here is that the way that I read it, now maybe I'm wrong, but the way I read it is that the earth is also being reformed.
Yes.
Not snapped into existence. It's being, you know, creating the firmaments and the water and all that. This is the reorganization of something that was already there. It's not the creation of the entire planet, is it?
That's right. It's a recreation of this entire planet and all life on it. And that's what this whole thing is all about. Somebody has come back and they're recreating all over again. And now they're coming back the way they must have come here millions of years ago or whatever it was when these extraterrestrials came here and they saw the indigenous creatures that we today scientists call hominids. We think of them as cavemen, you know, but whatever they were not like us. And so these creatures came from other worlds. They came from out there, from heaven. And they said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Well, that's what's happening today. There seems to be a new evolution, idea now being put forth because mankind has become so large, so many humans, and it's totally out of control. I mean, at least 95% of the earth are so ignorant they don't even know they're alive. They just reproduce and eat and reproduce and eat until there's just millions and millions of them, and collectively they got an IQ of 40. They just keep reproducing and drinking their beer and entertaining themselves with bullfights and guns and ball games. They just keep reproducing and reproducing. And so whoever is in charge of this world, the gods, are obviously looking at us and saying, you know, we got to do something to clean this thing up. They're destroying the earth. They're destroying the water and their air and their food. We got to do something to change this whole superstructure of what we call life on the earth, because these people are crazy. Damn, they are ignorant and ill-informed and can't read, but they know how to reproduce, and they got 14 kids, and the woman's got 14 kids, and she's pregnant and got no husband, and so you just keep reproducing these people by the millions, and those people have babies, and they reproduce. And so finally you end up with a situation where you've got billions of people who their parents didn't know how to read. The billions of people, the parents didn't know anything. They don't know nothing. They just were born and do the best they can and raise the family, because that's what all the animals do. And so today, now you still are looking at billions of people are reproducing and reproducing and reproducing. And of course we have to, you know, because America is looked to as a great and wonderful country. And so we want to feed the poor. We want to feed the poor children and poor all the poor, but you're so incredibly ill-informed. The poor are reproducing themselves, existentially. It's just, you know, you've got 8 million. And they have illegitimate kids, 10 apiece, and now there's 80 million, and those 80 million reproduce it again, and now you got 160 million, and then you just keep doing that until finally you got 8 billion people. And those 8 billion people, you know, 7 3/4 billion are going to reproduce themselves again. And now you're going to have 28 billion people, and then they're going to reproduce themselves and make it 160 billion people. And why? All of them collectively have got an IQ of 40. Nobody's thinking. Nobody's looking at what the future is. We've got, you know, we're running out of air. We're running out of clean water. We're running out of food. And what bothers me is that so many people are having babies that never, I'm trying to tell you what I see in this world. People that are having children and babies now are thinking this, that the way we live today is the way humans in America have lived for tens of thousands of years. We've always, for tens of thousands of years, we've always had 7-Eleven and the big grocery stores and the big supermarkets and all the liquor stores, and we've always had Pop TV and Beavis and Butthead and the ball games. We've always lived this way for thousands and thousands of years because that's the way life on the earth is. And I'm saying, no, Airhead, you better go back and do some research and find out we haven't lived this well in tens of thousands of years. And we are now so big and so overweight and so overwhelmed. And the people are just reproducing babies, and we're supposed to feed the babies of the world. And so what you're doing is you just keep feeding the babies, and they grow up, and they have more babies. And now it's 7 billion, and now, you know, a couple of years, there'll be another 10 billion. And we just keep trying to feed the babies and feed all the poor folks. All they're doing, the poor folks, are just reproducing themselves and reproducing and watching TV and drinking their beer and going to the ball game. They don't give a damn about the future. They don't read. They don't know anything. They don't understand anything. But they do know how to reproduce. Mm. And so I'm saying that one day soon, the world of mankind is going to wake up to the overwhelmingly obvious fact that the gods have come back, and they're going to do something about thinning the crowd. They're going to do something to thin us because we're out of control. We don't know how to stop. So we just continue to do what we've always done, have babies. Mm. And it's the most clever thing in the world, is sex. Let's have babies. And then we've got so many babies, so many hundreds of millions, that we can either throw them away or throw them out in the street and let them live on drugs, or let them get into a gangs, and the gangs are growing bigger because they're taking in more and more children and babies, and they're selling drugs, and they're, you know, the situation is out of control. And that's what this official with NASA, this German guy, looked and sounded like he came out of Nazi Germany. He was an official at NASA, and he was being interviewed about what's coming in NASA, and he said, we are preparing to leave this earth forever. This is what NASA is all about. Well, mm-hmm. Of course, NASA is made up of all the old Nazis under Adolf Hitler. NASA is an old Nazi boy network. And they were building rockets in Germany. Now they're building rockets in America. And NASA is nothing more than a Nazi operation, period. But he said, and he was from Germany, and you could tell with his mannerisms and his demeanor, he was a Nazi. But he said, we are getting ready to leave this planet. Why? Because you have no idea in the world how bad off this earth really is. You're expecting to have your billions and billions of babies, and there'll always be a grocery store and cold water, and you'll have plenty to eat. And baby diapers and all that, but you have no idea in the world what we are facing on this earth. Billions of people collectively are having children, and they have no idea, and they don't really care about what's coming to the earth. And we know that something bad is coming to the human civilization. We are getting bigger and bigger and more people, and the bigger we get, the less we know. So that there's a handful of people on the earth we call Illuminati, which are the masters of wisdom and the masters of science. while the billions of people, all they know how to do is sit back and have babies and drink beer and watch a ball game. And see, somewhere along the line, the end is coming, and the individual creatures who created us to look like them, they're watching us. And I'm telling you, there's something coming on this earth, and it's going to be horrible when the ordinary people of the world wake up and there's no longer any food. What food there is, you got to fight 14,000 people in your town to get that food. And God knows if they find out you've got the food and they're starving, they're going to come to your house looking for food. And if there's nothing there, they might eat you. And so I'm just saying that if you want to look at the world the way it really is, and you're going to have to look at it soon. You're going to look at it soon, whether you like it or not. And when you do, and you're going to find out that the people who are running this planet today are not from here. They don't care about this human race. They don't care about you. Go out and have all the babies you want and drink all the beer. We give you a liquor store in every corner. So go out and have yourself a couple of drinks and go watch your ball game, because we're going to get rid of you real soon anyway. Mm. We've had enough of your bull.
Right. You know, and look, I'm going to kick a challenge that is being made to me, but I'm going to kick it out as a question to Jordan here. Because let me just set this up for a second. Jacques Fresco, you've heard of him, I'm sure?
Jacques Fresco?
Fresco.
I think I have, yeah, but I don't remember why.
Okay, so he's the guy who's...
I have heard that name, but I don't recall why right now.
Sure. Well, he's the inspiration behind the Venus Project, which has this concept about a way that societies could be managed in
order.
Well,
look at that. That all goes back to what I did. That is all based on my work.
Right.
It's based on something called the Zeitgeist movement.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's why I'm going into this. But here's the question, because of what Fresco does, which is a little bit different, and he was included in those movies and all that as well. The thing is this, if those in power were to choose to make a situation that was not in this condition as it is, okay, where you have, there's plenty of people that are easily controlled because they're poor and they don't know anything and they don't have any resources. But there are ways that this could be reimagined, right? So that, truthfully, there are enough resources on the planet right now, at least. I mean, exponentially, no. I mean, eventually everything runs out. But on the planet at the moment, there would be a way so that there would not have to be this shortage of resources. In other words, it is really scarcity, which is the currency of a lot of things. And it doesn't matter if it's money or if it's food or if it's housing or if it's decent water. It is through the scarcity of these things that you create these paradigms, right?
Of course, yes. That's called politics, and there's a science to it.
Oh,
it's called political science.
Absolutely.
Why? Because there is a science to causing people to starve so that they will do what you tell them to do.
That's right.
And you can use them politically, because when they're broke and starving, they'll do whatever you tell them, as long as they can get something to eat. Even if it's something that's dead meat that's been out in the garbage for 2 weeks, people will eat because they are hungry. And so you can manipulate them and exploit them and trick them and deceive them. And so, yeah, I understand. I understand what's going on. But the implications are one day this stuff is going to come home. And when it does, the whole world is going to finally wake up. And when they do and they see what's been done to them and what their world has become like now, with no fresh water, no food, and what little food there is, the whole town is going to be looking for it. So don't you go out and look to find food for your family, because there's going to be 50,000 other people out there in the street looking for food.
Right.
And if you have electric lights, you better put a curtain or something over your window, because if they find that you got electricity, they're coming to raid your refrigerator and your freezer, and there's going to be, you know, we've got movies made off of this. You know, we've got television and shows and movies have been telling you this for years. So, yeah, scarcity can be used politically. But like you said, eventually, down the road, there's going to come a day, and I got a feeling it's a lot closer than maybe you think. But myself, I think the eventuality is coming very soon, when we're going to wake up and find out we have raped this earth incredibly bad. We have destroyed our earth and our land. We've flooded it with oil and flooded our oceans with oil, and we've flooded our countries with criminals and lies and deception and alcohol and drugs, and something's got to be done to save the human family if the ones who created us want to save us, because we can't do it. We humans cannot save ourselves. You know, we're the only creatures on the earth. When we're born, we are helpless. All the other animals that are born, you know, 2 minutes after they're born, they're on their feet, and they know what to do, and they know how to follow their parents, and they grow quickly, and they already know what they need to do and how they do it, and they just were born an hour ago. Right. But with humans, you have to wait, you know, for 15 years till they finally wake up and know how to take care of themselves. So I'm just saying I'm afraid for the future, because the people today have no power to change anything. They have no power. Some may be smart enough to see what's coming and want to think about it and what to do, but we don't have any power. Why? Because knowledge is power, and we don't have any real, legitimate, de jure, provable knowledge. Knowledge has been kept from us, and instead of giving us wisdom and knowledge and wisdom to work with to build a better world, we're giving Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and baseball games and football games and sitcoms and all kinds of childish ball games and childish tripe on television and entertainment, and it's just amazing how the human family has been so misled. And the handful of people, I know, because I'm one of them, I've been trying for some 59 years to wake people up to the reality, the harsh reality we live in. And all I've ever gotten was mockery and robbery and people laughing at me and mocking me and stealing everything I have and thinking I'm working for the government, I'm working for the devil, or, you know, I've been called every name you can think of. So I just do what I do because I learned a long time ago to look at reality and figure it out what's coming. If you know where you've come from in history and you know what's going on now, well, now you, at least you got 2 points, two stars and 2 points. So draw a straight line through those 2 points, and now you can see where you're going. So you know where you've been, where you are now, and now we can see where you're going. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not anti-God, not anti-anything. But I do want to try and help people to wake up to the reality of the world we live in. That's what I try and do.
Well, and that is what you are doing and have been doing and continue to do. We're going to take a break right now, but JordanMaxwellShow.com is Jordan Maxwell's website. And this, again, is the 11th episode in this string, this series on religion. You know, a string of shows or a series of episodes. I don't know what's the best way to describe it. It doesn't matter. We have Jordan Maxwell with us, and we are getting deep into things. Of course, you want to go deeper, go to JordanMaxwellShow.com altogether. JordanMaxwellShow.com. That is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. Stick around. The O'Shelley Effect. We'll be right back. WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. The brilliant author of The War State brings you exclusive reports about the big changes upcoming in the markets.
WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Way too short of a time to always take yourself all too seriously. This is the second hour of the Ocelli Effect, and it is a Monday. We are continuing our series with Jordan Maxwell, who I do take seriously. I don't take myself very seriously, but Jordan Maxwell I take very seriously, and I'm extremely grateful to have him on for this series of discussions that we've had related to religion. Not related to, actually focused on religion. Some other related topics have come up. Of course, you guys can enter questions into the conversation as we go through my Skype. Charles.Ocelli is my Skype. And if not there, you can go to the live chat room at Ocelli.com, and you can put your questions in there. I will enter them into the discussion. Meanwhile, if you want to get deeper into this subject and many others, you go to JordanMaxwellShow.com. Altogether, JordanMaxwellShow.com. It is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. You can make a donation there. You can join the research society there and get way deeper into these topics and many others. You can also go there and purchase on-demand videos, things like that. And hey, while you're there, you can always email Jordan. He's always happy to receive correspondence, your thoughts on the shows, whatever, this kind of thing. Of course, as I said, everything helps when it comes to donations and things. I'm at a point this month where I could use some myself, but Jordan is always in that kind of condition, because I got to tell you something, telling the truth just doesn't pay that well. So it's that simple. Anyway, JordanMaxwellShow.com. That's your starting point. It's the only website that is Jordan's, and that's where you go to get access to all of that. The Research Society button is there, and the links and clickable goodies are all over the website, so you can email Jordan, donate, check out, you know, previous shows. Not sure if my shows are up there on the site or not, but I do know that there's other shows that Jordan has done with other people on there that are accessible right away, and a whole lot more stuff is accessible when you join the Research Society. So all of that out of the way, I'd like to continue on with the discussion, Jordan. And, you know, when we took the break, we were talking about this exponential, you know, in the movie The Matrix, right? Agent Smith turns around and says to Neo, you're actually more like a virus with the way you're spreading around the world. You're not really carnivores. You're not really, you know, you're not really mammals. You're more like a virus. And Jordan was talking about this exponential spreading of humanity, but it's not that the reproduction or you know, procreation is a negative, and it's not like religion is a negative. Let's clear that up one more time.
No, absolutely, I agree with you. It's not a negative.
Yeah.
It can be made into a negative if you're ignorant, ill-informed, and unread.
See, that's what the trouble is. When you allow people to put a facade over something, right, and present, yep, you know, kind of beat you with a stick, but it's a padded stick. You know, it's still a stick. You just don't know what the stick is made of. Okay.
That's right.
And, you know, it's really, really rough to deal with this and to kind of deprogram what you've always been taught. I often wind up referring back to things that I always was sort of taught to be the, you know, the ground level of truth. And the fact is that the generations that came before me didn't really know any better than me, so you gotta actually dig deeper to get at it, because nobody's going to hand it to you easily, are they, Jordan?
No, and besides, people don't realize that what they're reading in their holy books, the Bible and the Quran and the Torah and the Book of the Law and all of that, they don't realize that these are stories that have been around for thousands of years in other cultures. They just were told in a different way. You know, in a classic example, when you read in the Bible about Moses, and Moses, when he was leading the people in the desert, he didn't know where he was going, and so he was out there for 40 years. Well, that's very suspect anyway, because 40 shows up in the Bible, Old Testament, all the time. 40 this, 40 that. And so Moses is out in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Israelites are following him because he don't know where he's going. He's in the wilderness. And so, but there's no way for him to order food for everybody. But you better find some food for everybody, because you got a lot of people out there, thousands if not millions of people following you, and they're in the desert, and they're in the lost desert too with you, and you're the one that brought them out there because you told them God was going to take care of them. Well, where is he? And we're hungry, right? And
go.
So then we see that in the Bible that Moses talks to God, and God and tells him, God, you know, you have to do something for me here, and it is something important. Can you do something to help feed my people here, because we don't have nothing? We're out in the middle of a desert, and we don't even know where we are. Can you do something to feed us, because if not, we're going to die? And so we may be God's chosen people, but we're not going to be here much longer because we're not eating. And then it says, God says to Moses, oh, okay, I'll feed you. I'll tell everybody to settle down, and I will feed you. What I'll do is I will give you something that is called the manna from heaven. And so the manna from heaven began to, the scripture says, the people would wake up in the morning and they would have something called the manna from heaven. And they would go out and gather up this manna from heaven and eat it. And at least they had breakfast, and they had lunch and dinner based on this manna from heaven. Well, the very word manna, you know, we've heard this story about the manna from heaven, and the Jews are out on, and the Hebrews, or whoever they are, the Hebrews or the Jewish, they are out there in Israel. They're out there picking up the manna from heaven. Well, the first of all, the word manna simply means in the old ancient Phoenician language, which we call Hebrew, it's actually a Phoenician language, and mana in the old Phoenician language simply means, what is it? They don't even know what it is. They're just out there eating something, and it's good. They're eating it, but they don't know what it is. They have no idea how it got there. But thank God, at least it's something to eat. And so they call that mana, which means, what is it? And so then you find out, you go back into the history and go back to the Jewish Encyclopedia, Encyclopedia Judaica, and the Jewish reference works on the Jewish religion. And then you look at the what they call archaeolinguistics, which is the study of the ancient languages of the world and how they're all connected behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And when you hit archaeolinguistics and you ask, what does archaeolinguistics, the study of ancient languages, tell you about the word mana? Because obviously in the Bible, the Hebrews didn't know what it was. That's why they called it mana. And then you find out in the reference books on the word, mana from heaven was mushrooms. They were eating mushrooms, the magic mushrooms. Well, no wonder they were talking to God. Now, hell, if you're out there eating the magic mushrooms, you're going to be talking to God. You're going to have all kinds of wonderful experiences communicating with your God on mushrooms. And so mana from heaven is described in the Bible. Go to the Bible and read in Genesis read in the Old Testament about mana from heaven. Look it up in the Bible where the scriptures are talking about the mana from heaven, and it will tell you in the reference works, mana from heaven were mushrooms. And they were called the magic mushrooms, and magic mushrooms have been around the Middle East by God for thousands of years. But it actually says they were small, round things that grew in the morning dew. So when you get up in the morning, there will be these fluffy, round things that you could pick and eat, and they were called mushrooms. And so now there are, today, there are quite a few articles being written in Israel by Israeli professors and people who study the Israeli history of words, etc., in the Hebrew. And there are many articles being written now. You go on the web and just look up Israel and mushrooms and see all the different articles written by professors and teachers and writers and researchers in Israel saying that, yeah, the people supposedly at that time that Moses would have been alive, they were on mushrooms. And that's why, you know, they were seeing and able to talk to God directly. Well, yeah, if you take enough mushrooms, you're going to talk to God. Mm. And so, but it's not mushrooms just for, you know, like you would get with a hamburger. No, no, these were magic mushrooms. What is it? Amanita muscaria is probably one of the most famous mushrooms in the world, is Amanita muscaria, and that's a one incredible trip, boy. You take a little bit of the mushroom of the Amanita muscaria and watch what happens to your brain. Watch what happens to your mind. When your mind starts reacting to the chemicals in that mushroom, you're going to see things you are not going to believe.
Oh,
and you're going to have experiences, boy.
I'm acutely aware of this, Jordan. I've sampled that one. I've sampled psilocybin. I have also sat down with people that used to be called Indians. At the time I sat down with them, but now they call them Native Americans. Quite honestly, and had peyote. So, guess what? I know exactly what you're saying. I do not deny the legitimacy of those experiences or tell you that it's not something that doesn't irrevocably alter your state, because it does. Now, what's interesting to me is that according to what they describe as ancient witches' script, mana, M-A-N-A, would be the pronunciation of energy from the land, and its physical manifestation is mushrooms.
Yeah.
So, you know, not everybody is lying to you. Just so you guys know this. It's interesting stuff when you take a look at it. when you look at the confluence of the ancient languages, that is one interesting point as well.
It's called archaeolinguistics, the ancient languages of the world.
Right. And, but all of them together, you start to line them up, they do start to make sense as to how, you know, things came together. I have an interesting question here, and it's actually a little bit off topic, but I did say if it's relevant, we'll bring it up, okay?
Yeah.
So this person is asking, let me just get their exact question. Can you ask Jordan why Satanism as a religion is so popular? The highest levels of world leaders, excuse me. Before Jordan answers that, let me just explain something though. What some people call Satanism is not Satanism. So I don't know if you mean the religion by which you basically are your own god, or if you mean the actual worship of the character of Satan, because both things exist. So that would be what I would say if I were answering the question. Now, Jordan might have a different view and might want to answer it differently. Go ahead, though.
Well, I would say that that you're right, that there are different interpretations of what we would call Satanism. You know, there are different interpretations, and you outlined it, and you're right. But there does seem to be a general overall direction in which the human family is slowly but surely becoming involved with, and that is otherworld entities and demonism and devil worship. But over that, there does seem, as I said, to be some kind of a direction that the human family on the earth is now being directed into, with all kinds of rituals and blood sacrifices and you know, killing children, and that stuff is real, and so many of the so-called elites are involved with all kinds of child sacrifices and pornography and narcotics and drug addiction. And very slowly but surely, it's beginning to circulate around the world now. So now we're finding out that, you know, the pedophilia stuff in religion, it's everywhere. It's in government. It's in the industrial field. It's in military. It's in churches and religions and all kinds of religious orders around the world. And there's all kinds of, you know, in Islam, we said before, you know, that they have child marriages and child sacrifice. So it just does, it seems to be that people are being, because they grow up, they're born, they have no grounding whatsoever. People are being born today that have no grounding. They are shallow. In that they have no background in education or morals or ethics or scruples or in humanity. They don't know anything about humanity and where we've come from. All they know is they're born and they got to eat and they got to live. And so they're out chasing sex and drugs, alcohol, and God knows what else, and going to their cage fighting and their martial art fighting and boxing, and they get involved with the dark side of the world with fights and sex and drugs and rock and roll and all the rest of it, until there seems to be a general direction now that the human family is now slowly but surely drifting into, that they're not really realizing. It's just people are experiencing something they like, and they like watching the fights, they like watching the ball games, they like this and they like that, and they're having a cold beer while they're watching it. And so they don't realize that slowly but surely they are giving up their humanity and supporting something that's going on the earth today that is frightening, because if you look where we've come from and where we are now, it doesn't take a scientist to figure out where we're going.
Right.
Because the people today, generally speaking, in America especially, are not grounded. There's a term that's used in electricity. People are not grounded. When I was coming up as a child, I had my family explain to me about morals and ethics and rules of life and how to treat other people and what to do and what not to do and what is acceptable when you're playing with other kids and what is not acceptable. And if you do something wrong, you apologize for it and you don't do it ever again and you apologize. And you don't do this and you don't do that, but here's what you do. If you want to be a normal and good person, here are the things you have to do. You have to take care of the older people and look after children and animals. And the way you treat an animal tells us about how you're going to treat the rest of the world. If you treat an innocent animal, we're watching you. We know what you're thinking. We know that you're brutal. And so I was well grounded by my mom and by the people around me that taught me how to think and how to question and how to live and how not to live, etc., and got me thinking about spiritual subjects. And then I began hearing teachers and other people that I gravitated toward who were talking about wonderful, strange, and incredible subjects, about the strangeness of living in the world and all the strange things that have happened in our universe and happening on our earth that we don't have any answer for. And that's why that book I've told you about before, and you should get it. You could get it in any good bookstore today. You can still order it on Amazon. And if you go on my website, Jordan Maxwell Show, on the same line that you see my Research Society button that you can join, move your eyes over to the right and you will see another little button that says Recommended Materials.
Right.
And so go on Recommended Materials, and one of the books right off the bat is called The Complete Works of Charles Fort, F-O-R-T. The Complete Works of Charles Fort. You can still buy it on Amazon or go to the bookstore and they have it, but it is a huge, thick book based on all of the stories that have appeared in newspapers and magazines and articles around the world of things which have happened on this earth in which there is no explanation for whatsoever, period. Things which have happened that nobody knows why they happened. Nobody can explain it. And since science cannot explain it, they don't even look at it. Why? Because if they looked at it, they'd have to explain it, because they're the most brilliant people on the earth as scientists, which in point of fact, they don't know, period. They don't know what is going on. They have no idea in the world. All they know is that science is a religion. It's a religion that has their holy books and their holy altars, and they have their holy people, their great prophets and holy prophets in science. And so they don't need to know anything. All they need to do is keep your mouth shut. And if you want to get a job, then you got to get a degree. So you get Caesar to stamp your paper, and you got a degree now. Now you could go out and get a job. And just keep your mouth shut if you're thinking too much. And so the bottom line is that people are not aware of how this world works. So therefore, the Bible says, God said, my people are dying from a lack of knowledge.
Well, and all of this is so interesting, because, you know, one of my most recent sort of thoughts, probably one you had years ago, but as I'm looking at these people that are developing artificial intelligence, now somebody's going to say, why is he bringing that up? All right, yep. Well, here's why, because we just talked about Satanism, and we just talked about what it is that, you know, people should know is acceptable behavior and what is not. Okay.
Yep.
I find it extremely, even more insidious than all of the ugly things we know about on the planet in the future. It feels like this concept will become more insidious. Now, why do I say it? Because I'm just afraid of technology? Not at all. When I look at the statements from people who are developing this, Jordan, Mm-hmm. They literally state, excuse me, by the way, they literally state that they're basically atheists. And look, I have no problem if you want to believe that you are your own God, if you want to believe that, you know, this whole existence is just a thing made up in your head, and that's fine. I think people should be free to observe the world and interpret it any way they choose. But when I see these guys talking about, look, we're atheists, you know why I don't believe in God? Because I haven't created it yet. This is a frightening notion in my mind. And I can't really articulate why, but I can tell you that it sounds like the absolute most purely satanic idea in the world. To lose something that is exponentially more intelligent, can act quicker, can literally exploit any weakness on, you know, mass populations in the less than the blink of an eye. This idea to me is so frightening, and the fact that these people are aware that they're creating something that would be akin to God, they don't believe there's a God now, but we're making one, that is almost the essence of what people should be afraid of with this, you know, when it comes to, and I don't believe in fear, by the way. It's just a matter of, this is
you
caution.
You should be aware of it. Yeah, you should be aware.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, the sort of spiritual implications of that? I mean, is that literally like somebody ritualistically trying to use the religion of science to invoke the demon?
It's really frightening, because what in fact is happening is that we are being stripped slowly but surely over a period of time, but we're being slowly but surely according to a method. There is an actual scientific method. That's why when you want to study world politics, it's called political science. It's not politics ideas. No, political science, because there is an actual provable science to the control of human beings and the control of people. And so this is why I said we as a human family on the earth are slowly but surely losing our humanity. We're losing our respect for the other world of knowledge and wisdom that has come down to us and now is almost totally dead in human society. All we're doing is playing our football games on our computers and playing games and talking to each other on the telephone. There's no real interaction, and that's why, you know, people getting married, they need to go back and start thinking about, you're getting married. Do you know how to converse with the opposite sex? Do you know how to treat other people? If you're a man, do you know how to treat a woman? And a child, are you aware of how the woman thinks and her feelings? No. Well, you're not gonna be with a woman very long. You're gonna find out that, you thought you understood everything and you didn't understand this was a woman you were marrying, and they don't always think like you. And if you don't have respect for that, then you're not gonna stay married very long. Well, same thing for women. You know, women have their own views on things. Well, do you know the way the man thinks? So you have to show respect for the male and the man. And so I'm just saying people don't show respect for each other. Why? Because they've never been trained to. They've never had any grounding. They've never had anyone teach them how to think. So they just grow up like any other animal on the street. And that's why, that's why the masters who run this planet, they call all of us, we the people on the street, they call us chattel. Mm. Look that word up in a dictionary. Spell C-H-A-T-T, chattel. Not cattle, like a bull, but chattel. And chattel simply means human cattle. And so the difference between cattle and humans is that humans are called chattel, and cows are called cattle. And so this is why today we are on your identification, your driver's license and everything else, ID, you are either male or female. Why? Because if you went back to the United States printing office and got the book, ordered from the government printing office called the Styles Magazine or the Styles Book, printed by the U.S. printing office, Styles Magazine is a large magazine with words. All the words that are used in government, used in courts, used in business, and what those words mean in government, not what they mean on the street. You've got your own idea about what the word means on the street.
Right.
But if you want to know before you go into court and before you get involved in business, get the Styles Magazine, and it will show you all the words that are used in courts and in government and what they mean in the court. Not what they mean on the street that you think. And so then you find out in the Styles Magazine, it says if you are a man or a woman, you have to be royalty to be a man or a woman.
Right.
Only royalty, only the wealthy and the royalty are considered by law to be a man or a woman. But the people, the common people of the world, are referred to as animals. They're called chattel. C-H-A-T-T-L, chattel, and chattel means cattle. So that's why if your daughter's getting married and the young man comes from a wealthy family, you say, well, she's getting married, but the boy she's marrying, he's of good stock. He's of good stock. What, is she marrying a cow? No, but he's of good stock, meaning he's chattel, but they got money, so they are... You know, they're better off than we are. So we're just the common folks.
Right.
But he's from good stock. So you need to understand all of your identification is in male or female. Why? Because male and female, according to Styles Magazine, published by the government, says if you're male or female, you're an animal.
Well, and there's slightly different values attributed to male and female animals depending on what they are. For instance, you know, a breeding bull is very, very expensive, a good breeding bull. But then again, you know, certain types of female cows that are out there that produce a lot of milk, those are very expensive, right? Some types of cows don't necessarily do the same thing. Not every bull is a great breeding bull. See, good stock versus, right, the rest. Now, we got a couple of questions that came in, and so I want to enter them in here before we run out of time.
One other thing I want to say is that that's why you are on the stock market.
Exactly.
Because that's all you are is cattle. You're on the stock market.
And
go on, what were you saying?
Yeah, believe it or not, if you find out about your, you know, Social Security, your government serial number, you can find out that there's actually a stock market value to that. But anyway, another thing you can study in the Research Society at JordanMaxwellShow.com. All right, so here's the two questions. We got another Satanism question, and we have one on recent events. I'll go with the recent events question first. Because of the increase in bad weather, earthquakes, tsunamis, I'm not sure what this word is, but I'm guessing this is all natural disasters. Because of the increases of natural disasters and floods and things like this, does it appear as though this is part of the biblical text, or is this simply mankind wrecking the planet?
Mankind wrecking the planet. This is called weather modification.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole story that most people have never heard. I've sat and talked with the scientists and physicists that work for the U.S. government, NASA, and in private conversations, I've sat and talked with them about what is going on with the weather of this world. And they tell me that there's something called ELF, extreme low frequency, ELF. And I could quickly just tell you that off the coast of the United States in Alaska, off the coast of Alaska going eastward toward Russia, there's a series of islands called the Aleutian Islands off the coast of Alaska. And on that last little island on the American side, there's also a series of little islands off the coast of Russia in the same area. And they have little islands going toward America. And on the last island, I am told, on the last island on the Russian side, is Russia has put a gigantic atomic power plant on that little island that's closest to America. That little island has a big power plant, a nuclear power plant. And why? Well, because they've got a station, some kind of an electrical radio or some kind of a station out there, but it uses so much electricity they have to generate their own nuclear power to even run this station on that little island. Mm. And what it is on that station, we now know that there are like two large disks, those disks that we see in Goldstone, Arizona, and that kind of thing. Well, these are two large disks, and one of them, they're like plates, the big ones, and so they're connected to a computer. And so if Russia wants to cause trouble somewhere, they want to cause any kind of terrible weather, they direct one of those disks and put it into the computer. And then they put it the same thing into the other computer, and the other disk turns the opposite way. One is going northward, and one's going eastward. And now, when they jack up the power and they're sending out an electrical signal, which is extremely powerful, because they have to have a nuclear plant to just pump the electricity into this thing. Mm. One of those disks are sending out a powerful electrical signal north, going around the world. It will go around the Earth and come right back where it's, because it's going one straight line. But the other one that's pointing east or west, it has to be east or west. That one sends out a signal and it goes around the world and comes back. But where the two signals cross, is in the computer, and wherever it crosses, now once they cross, it's now called ELF, extreme low frequency. Now you can manipulate the power going into both of those lines of power going around the world, and they connect somewhere on the Earth, on the other side of the Earth. And so where they connect, you can now cause a volcano to erupt. You can cause an earthquake. You can cause a hurricanes or tornadoes. And depending on how much power you pump into it and where you are designing that cross point where the two things are going to cross on the other side of the world, you figure out where it is and what the weather's like, and now you can cause the rains to come and flood, or if it's a rainy area and a jungle, you can cause no rain to fall at all, period. And you go for droughts. And so it's called ELF, and it's a fascinating story about how Russia controls the weather. Mm. Well, we know we're doing the same thing. We call it HARP, and we've got ELF frequencies also. We're using it militarily, just like Russians are. But the bottom line is, to the answer to the question, yes, we are causing most of these terrible things that are happening on the Earth. That's between Russia and us. Mm. We're hurting them, they're hurting us, and we hurt their friends, and they hurt our friends, and we cause earthquakes and volcanoes. Well, they're doing the same thing. And so all of these things we're seeing happening, yeah, we are causing. We humans, we're great at science. We love science. We don't care about life. Mm. So it's called ELF. Yeah. Go back and just research ELF, extreme low frequency.
And it's basically weather warfare between whoever and whoever. I mean, it really is irrelevant when it's being done on such a mass scale who's doing it. It's just the fact that it is human-driven. Okay, so there's the answer to that question. Hopefully that works for you. Now, the other one is, again, about Satanism. Now, this is, I'm just going to read it as written. Is Satanism compatible / interconnected with Nazism and or communism, since the world appears to have been using those three belief systems to land us in so much trouble? ? That's exactly the way it's written, Jordan.
Yeah, and I think there is something to that, that no matter what kind of Satanism you are looking at, no matter what school of thought you're dealing with, you're dealing with something that you don't have any control over. And that's why I tell people don't deal with spiritual subjects that where you actually contact the spirits, like with an Ouija board. That's the one thing I would stay as far away from as you can possibly get as an Ouija board, because what you're doing is you are actually, in point of fact, communicating with the spirit world, and it does work. And you can bet it works. And it's called an Ouija board, and you ask it questions, and it will answer you. And it's an intelligent answer, so you know you're connecting with something on the other side. Well, I think you have to be out of your mind to do anything like that, because it's obviously intelligent, it's not of this world, and you're talking to it. Well, you don't know what you're talking to. Parents tell their children, don't go talking to strangers, and watch out with the people around you and strangers around you. Why? Because you don't know what they're like and who they really are. Well, the same thing on a Ouija board and with humans dealing with spiritism, spirit subjects like demonism, devil worship, child sacrifice, or devil worship. There is a world of spiritual presence on this earth that we humans are not aware of. Churches talk about demons and devil worship and spirits and poltergeists and ghosts and sons of God and the Islamic people talk about jinns, which are spiritual entities, demons and devils or spirits, angels. Mm. Of course, we have good and bad angels. Yeah, well, I don't know the difference, so I don't want to deal with any angel because I don't know the difference.
Well, but the truth about all of this, Jordan, in reality, though, is that most of the people that spend a lot of time speaking about this know absolutely nothing about what they're speaking about. I mean, literally, correct me if I'm wrong, but I hear these guys from the pulpit talking about, there's a devil that makes you want to do this, and there's, a great spirit that makes you want to. These people have no clue about the fact
that
there are entities who don't care about any of, your little trials and tribulations in life. Now, they may wish to consume life, but to them, you're nothing but food. Okay?
Of course.
There's all sorts of orders of different things that are out there. And just like with the Ouija board, I mean, it's a toy. It's more famously a toy, but the thing is that people make these broad sweeping statements about things that they have no knowledge of, no experience with, and absolutely no connection to. They're telling you their ideas, and actually, they're not even their ideas. They are just the manipulated, mangled version of what it is they were told to say.
Absolutely.
And that's what kills me. I mean, but again, Jordan, maybe I'm wrong. Tell me. Am I wrong?
No. This is exactly right. They went to college. If you're going to be a minister, you're going to be a minister in a church, you've got to get a degree. So you've got to go to a Christian university.
Get a degree in theology.
And they're going to ask you all the questions, and you've got to answer the questions. And if you get an A, and so it's like anything else. You go to school, and you will learn what they tell you to learn, and you will recite what they tell you to recite. And if you're a good boy and you learn what the teacher wants you to say and what the book tells you to think and say, then we'll get an A. And that way, when you go up, you can go to college now. Mm-hmm. And they will give you a degree and you can get a good job. Why? Because you now know what to kiss and when and what to say. and how to view things correctly, the way the boss wants you to think. And so if you're like me, you grow up as a child deciding, I don't want to hear anything from any expert. I want to look at it myself. I'm not stupid. I want to read it myself, and I start asking questions about things that most adults have never even thought of. And so that's been my life. Ask questions about things that most adults don't even know exist. And then the more I looked at religion, because that was my favorite subject as a child, and still my favorite subject today, theology and religion. I'm not anti-God. I'm not anti-religious. But what I am is I'm trying to tell you that what you're believing today is based on things that you don't even know exist. They're based on ideas that existed in the ancient Egyptian world that today you believe as part of your religious belief, and you have no idea in the world where that belief came from and what it meant back then, 5,000 years ago, as opposed to what it means today. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have so much chaos and people turning to drugs and alcoholism and all the violence and wars and all the stuff that the humans are involved in today. Everywhere you look is cage fighting and football and fights and you know, heavyweight championships, and everything is fighting and drinking and alcoholism and drug addiction and wars and military. The whole human race has been sucked into a destiny that they have no idea where they've come from, where they are now, and how this stuff is working, and where they're getting ready to go. And known this for years. I've known all about it. I've been talking to all the experts in military and astronauts and scientists and Jesuit historians and Jesuit theologians, and I know what's going on. I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything, but at least I have had the opportunity to use my own mind all of my life, and I've spent all my time in my life researching and studying the world I live in, where it came from, what it means, and where we're going. And this is why the more I see this stuff, and I've seen it for 60 years, I am so incredibly moved emotionally. Moved by what I see coming. I see that children on the streets have no idea in the world how they got here, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to live. You know, I see mothers with six or eight kids, and they're pregnant, and their husband's gone, and so they're on television saying, well, who's going to feed my babies? Who's going to feed my babies? I got 14 kids here. And I've got six husbands, and they're all gone. And so who's going to feed my babies? Well, we'll feed them. We'll take care of them. Well, then what you're doing is opening up the world to the whole idea of socialism, Marxist, Leninist, communism, where the state will take care of everything. They'll feed you and take care of you. And yeah, well, they were doing just fine, but nobody seems to know the history of the World Communist Party back in the 30s when it was founded in the Soviet Union. Nobody seems to realize that Russia grew to be a mighty military power under the world communist regime. And under communism, it became known as the Soviet Empire, the Soviet Communism. But nobody seems to realize, where did the Soviets get the money to feed their troops and to feed their people and to pay their military? They get paychecks every week. Where did they get the money? Well, they got the money from the Federal Reserve. With the Federal Reserve used to send the plates that they used to print money. I've read articles many years ago that you would never read today, but in the research magazines and books many years ago explained and showed how the Federal Reserve sent the plates. They made duplicate plates of the fives and tens and twenties and $100 bills and wrapped those plates up and sent them to the Soviet Union, so that the Communist Party in the Soviet Union could run off, and they would, and the and the paper, the particular paper it was on, had to be produced and then sent to Europe, and from Europe it would go to Germany, and from Germany it would go into the Soviet Union, the paper, and so that the Soviet Union could print the money to feed their children, buy the guns, and feed their armies, and feed everybody, and make sure everybody gets paid, so that the Soviet Union could grow and become a great enemy. How? Off of the Federal Reserve plates that was sent to the communists by our great American heroes who run the Federal Reserve and financed Adolf Hitler the same way. They financed the Communist Party the same way, and now they're financing the destruction of the United States of America. Why? Because they can just print the money as much as you want. We'll just print this stuff. We'll put three ships, three different ships, morning, noon, and night, and just run off the paper money and send it everywhere, send it to Russia, so they'll have plenty of money to buy guns and start a war. We'll send a lot of it to South Africa, to Nelson Mandela, so he can foment revolutions and pay the blacks to kill whites. Then, so we'll just finance all this chaos and lies and deception and wars. The Federal Reserve is financing the world's demise, and we are so ignorant and ill-informed, we don't read, so we just don't know. But one day we're going to wake up and find out somebody has been planning your demise for a long time, and this is what I'm trying to do with my research website, is to show you all these documents and tell you things about the world you live in you've never heard before. So you wonder how we got in the mess we got? It's because there is somebody who's put us into this mess. And we don't even begin to know who financed the Soviet Union, it's our own country.
Well, you know what the other problem is, though, Jordan, and I got to be honest here. I always hate it when I only hear about the overlords, so to speak, that do this to us, right? Because we bear responsibility as well. Now, why do I say that? Because we feed into this system by insisting that tribalism is the important thing.
Now,
why do I say that? Okay, because here's the quick, you know, bullet point logic. What happens is they tell you you have to believe in a certain whatever, red tie, blue tie, right, GOP, liberal, whatever. They tell you that's your team. And then they present you with the tribe leader of said team, right? Then they tell you that somehow God has chosen them, or they are here as an instrument of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, this theme reoccurs and reoccurs, and it's all about the tribalism. It doesn't even matter the details that are there with the leader or with the God. You don't even necessarily have to know which God it is, and that's the confusion that we're working through during this series. But here's the problem. The grand leader, too. Somebody who's ascended to power. Why? He was chosen. Why was he chosen? Well, he was chosen by all of you. Not really. What has happened, though, is that regardless of what they put up, people join a team. You see? They just simply put out the team and say, join us. Become part of the people that wear the red hats. Become part of the people that are wearing the blue shirts. Become part of the people that are out there with this kind of sign. And people fall right into line, behaving much like the chattel that they're described as.
Yep.
This is our responsibility to not always go with the crowd. Now, look, when you see a crowd of people running away from something loud, it's good to follow a crowd because that's usually a good idea. But, you know, when you see them running straight into their own demise ignorantly, not even fully understanding the agendas of the individuals who have been placed in front of them, the system that is working, that they believe is going to work for them because of grand leader or because of the person they selected to office somehow, this is the problem. You're not going to be saved by somebody you saw on TV. You got
that's
it?
Right.
So that's the bottom line with all of this, as far as I'm concerned. It's not about, well, gee, you guys are challenging my beliefs in God. I'm not challenging your belief. You can believe anything you want, but look at the reality of what that actually is. Not the, not that facade, not the soffit over top of the windows, but look inside and figure out where it really came from, what it actually means, what these rituals actually stand for, what they're actually telling you when they're telling you fall into line. This is the problem. Anyway,
play ball.
Stand on your line.
There's a team here in this company, and you're not on the team.
You got it.
And I said, you bet your ass I'm not on the team, son. Don't try and BS me. I'm not on your team. I can read and write and think before I, you know, before I came here, I was already well aware of commercialism and how the world works and where the religions have come from and who owns the banks and how the whole world works. That's all I've done for all my life is study the dark side of the human race and what we're doing. That's why I want people to understand to go on my website, the Jordan Maxwell Show, and always add the word show because that's my only website is Jordan Maxwell Show, and you will see a button right there, a little banner that says Research Society website. Click on it and join. Because you're going to see I've got a massive website of all the documents, audios, and audio lectures, massive research papers on all the dark stuff going on underbelly of civilization, all the real tricks and lies and deception. And that's what I've been doing all my life. And the reason why I do it is because I think the human family needs to wake up and educate itself as to what's really going on here. And that's why I want to give them an opportunity of a place to start. You want to find out what the world's really like? Yeah, go on my website and join my research society. And then also get the two videos that are on my homepage on the right-hand side on the homepage of my two new videos. You get those and watch those. And you can download it and watch it immediately. Watch my two videos, and you will be astounded at what you never saw before, how this world is put together and how it works, and that was never told you. You've never been told these things I'm trying to show you. I'm not against anything. I do believe in God, but I don't want people being misled any longer.
Well,
so that's what I do.
Exactly. In that way, Jordan, you're kind of against one thing, and that is ignorance. You know, that is the one thing that I would prefer. Listen, again, as I said, I personally have no objection to someone believing anything they wish, so long as they're not harming others with that belief. And that's what the problem is, right? Because people that are misled and misdirected can very easily wind up harming people, even when they don't necessarily mean to, because they're misinformed.
That's right.
And it's just that simple. Now, believe it or not, we've run through 2 hours here with Jordan. So episode 11 is done, basically. I'm going to give Jordan the final word. But, of course, I urge you guys to go over to JordanMaxwellShow.com. That is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. I go over there. I am in the Research Society. I go into that section. You want to study up more on what we've talked about for the most part during these 2 hours and these 11 episodes, there is a tab in there under religion. And you can just begin there with the images and some of the interesting exhibits that are there to explain not only what we've gone over, but a lot more. Okay?
Yep.
So that's in the Research Society, but it all starts at JordanMaxwellShow.com. You got to put all that together because that is the only website that is actually Jordan Maxwell's. Okay. Jordan, what would you like to say kind of in closing tonight?
Well, in closing, I want people to know I'm not anti-religious. I'm not anti-God. I'm not anti-anything. I'm 78 years old, and I've been a teacher all of my life, and I'm fascinated with wisdom, and I want people to know how the world works and what's going on to help them to grow and educate themselves. And so, but go on my website, The Jordan Maxwell Show, and you'll see two videos on the right-hand side of the screen. Click on them and watch them. You can download and watch them now. You will find stuff in those two videos you have never heard of before, that is startling stuff. And then go join my research society, because there's a lot there and there's a lot more coming.
Well, so absolutely.
I appreciate you letting me talk about these things, because I want people to know I'm not anti anything. I just want to educate my fellow man before I leave this world.
Absolutely. And look, like I said, you know, the one thing that is paramount here, I do think you are anti-ignorance, though, Jordan. I gotta say that.
Yeah,
to you.
I think so.
I think you're anti-ignorance, but outside of that, no, you're not anti-anything. And here's the key to it all. The human family is worth saving, is worth educating, is worth the grace to earn some wisdom. And that's why this is being done. Jordan Maxwell has been with me for the past 2 hours. And, of course, this is the 11th episode in the series on religion. I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Jordan, for joining us. And thank all of you guys who participated, added in a question, whatever else. Do appreciate you. Remember this, guys. This is the Ocelli Effect. I'm merely Ocelli. All of you are the effect. Have a good night.